Hey, well, listen, you East Coast people are ready for bed. You're permitted to sleep while I speak. You're not permitted to snore because you may wake up the person sleeping next to you. But we want to talk about one big idea tonight. Now, let me direct your attention, please, very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 15. The big idea is that we make some choices, and then God sends the test. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 15. There are consequences to our choices. The great American pastime used to be baseball. It is no longer baseball. It is now denial. In a thousand different ways, we seek to live in denial. We don't want to have to face the music. We don't want to have to live with the consequences of our choices. And yet it's interwoven by God into the nature of man and the fabric of society. We do reap what we sow. And 1 Corinthians 10 talks about three things. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, talks about a foundation, talks about a building, and talks about a fire. The foundation, the building, and the fire, the test. Those are the three big ideas that we find here. Let me read to you. I'm going to use the New English Version. When we go to Genesis 32 in a minute, I'll use the King James, Good News for 17th Century Man. But I've got this one here. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, whatever translation you have. Or again, you are God's building. I'm like a skilled master builder who by God's grace laid the foundation and someone else is putting up the building. Let each take care how he builds. There can be no other foundation beyond that which is already laid. I mean, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the foundation of your life. You have a personal relationship with him. God knows you by name. You're his child. He knows you better than you know your own children, if you have children. You're his. And the foundation, the cornerstone, the basis of your life is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's true of all of us. That's true of every child of God on planet Earth. We can say, yay, God, hallelujah. We can rejoice. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation, gold, silver, fine stone, or wood, hay, and straw, the work that each man does will at last be brought to light. The day of judgment will expose it. That day dawns in fire, and the fire will test the worth of each man's work. If a man's building stands, he'll be rewarded. If it burns, he will have to bear the loss. Yet he will escape with his life as one might from a fire. Let's just stop there. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And now you and I go to Home Depot, spiritually, and we get together all the building materials. We're going to put together a building called our life. Now what we're going to do is kind of open the whole deal up. Paul talks about six things here, gold, silver, and fine stone, that we choose to put into our house, or wood, hay, and straw. So let's benefit. Let's do the Romans 15:14 thing where Paul says to the church, I'm persuaded of you, my brothers, that you're all filled with knowledge, you're all filled with goodness, you're able to instruct each other. So let's stop right now. When you read these three words in your Bible, gold, silver, and precious stone, what comes to your mind? What does that mean to you? I mean, you're building your life. So what is it? Okay, talk. Pardon me? What kind of values? Grace values. Okay. Great. Oh, G-R-E-A-T. You know, get to be my age. It kind of, you know, I'll have a hearing aid one of these days. Okay, values. Where do we get these values? Talk to me a little bit about that, Dave. What are they? What are some of these values? I mean, you're building your life, aren't you? You make choices all day. You're putting your life together. Do you know what you're building with? Oh, we're going to have a great weekend, I can see that. Okay, Naheed, talk to me. Excuse me, let's hear from Naheed and then we'll go. Okay, eternal values, things. What are some of those things? People, good. We're coming. Somebody had a cup of coffee for dinner. That's great. People, relationships. What else? Okay, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, character qualities. What else? Your children, absolutely. What else? Your relationship with God. Give that woman a high five. Somebody, that's it. Bruce, good. Hug your wife. That. Your relationship with God. How do we develop that relationship with God? The Scriptures. Oh, it's coming together. Truth. What else? How about, pardon me? Prayer, yes. Time alone with God. Talking and listening. How about godly counselors? Wise, godly, loving, caring men and women. These are the things that make the difference. And we make the choice. If any man, if any woman, build upon this foundation, Jesus Christ, gold, silver, fine stone, relationships, truth, grace. That's what we're talking about. What do you think might be referred to when it says wood, hay, and straw? First thing that comes to my mind is excessive committee meetings. Pardon me? Materialism, yeah. Gotta have more and more stuff. You know, drink Pepsi and get stuff. What else?
Fame.
Yeah, my reputation. Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. Anything that crowds out gold, silver, and precious stone, yeah. It's a substitute. It's a counterfeit. Yes?
Perishable.
Okay. Now, all of life is sacred. Get this down engraved in the table of your heart. All of life is sacred. We're not talking sacred, secular, upstairs, downstairs, clergy, laity, all that nonsense. That went out when the New Testament came in. When Jesus Christ, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Old Testament idea of take off your sandals was done away with. All of life is sacred. Medicine is sacred. Ministry is sacred. Recreation is sacred. Relationships are sacred. So we're not, but we still have to make choices. We still have to have a focus. Rosebud, did you want to say something? Oh, I didn't know if you were raising your hand or just trying to wake up your husband. That's okay, Louis. But in that, we hold it all with an open hand. We stay focused. We're pilgrims. You're making choices every day. You're building your life. That's your part. Now, what is God's part? God's part is to send a test. That's what the Scripture says. Each man, the work that each man does will at last be brought to light. The day of judgment will expose it. there are some people who believe this is kind of a way off, down the track, final judgment. There are a lot of very wise commentators and interpreters and other people who believe that it's in the here and now, and I'm in that bunch. That from time to time, God sends the test. We choose the material. God sends the test. And we'll find out the quality of our work once the test is passed. All of us have seen videos of raging fires in California that just sweep through neighborhoods. Fireballs leaping from tree to tree. And then the next day the camera crew goes in, and what do you see? You see this slab. And maybe a fireplace. And that the house is gone. I mean, gone. You drive down the street and you have this weird feeling. All you see are slabs and fireplaces. Everything else has vanished. And that's what happens with you and me today. Especially in the healthcare community. We went to a drama on the Bethlehem Marketplace last December. One of the churches in Tucson put on. And one of the orthopedic surgeons was the village physician in Bethlehem. And it was fascinating. And he said, "Now Herod won't let us bring in the drugs that we need from Egypt to care for the needs of the people. We call it Herod's medical oppression. It's HMO for short." But we're getting hammered from every direction. And let's look at how God tested Jacob in Genesis 32, please. So, close your New Testaments, and I'll dig out my old King James here. Sweetheart, anything you want to say, add, modify? How are we doing? Oh, okay. Genesis 32. Jacob. Jacob made a lot of choices. Jacob was a con artist, a cheat, a deceiver. And he got away with it for a long time. But God sent the test. The basic elements of the fire in Jacob's life were two: his twin brother and an angel of God. And God said to Jacob, "It's time to go back home." At age 77, he had stolen the blessing. The last thing his twin brother Esau said is, "I'm going to kill you." And Jacob fled. And he was gone for 20 years. Now at age 97, God comes to Jacob and says, "It's time to face the music. Back home, you're going to see Esau." In verse 6, Esau heard that he was coming, came out to meet him with 400 armed men. Oh, good deal. This is going to be a great family reunion with an army. And Jacob was afraid. So verses 8 through 21, Jacob has a plan of action. He divides his wives, concubines, children into two groups. He says, "Well, we'll send them over the creek. We'll split them up. You go this way, you go this way. If Esau finds one group and slaughters it, I'll at least have one wife and one concubine and some of my kids left living." So he has this plan. Then he sends gifts to Esau. Camels and donkeys and goats and you name it, you know. Gifts and gifts and gifts. And then God had a plan. After he sent his wives and kids over the brook, Jacob was left alone, verse 24. And there wrestled a man with him till the breaking of day. We don't know if this was Jesus Christ himself or an angel of Christ. But someone came and wrestled with Jacob. And when he saw that he couldn't prevail against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and it was out of joint as they wrestled. And Jacob said, "Let me go, because the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let thee go." Pardon me, the angel said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Jacob must have known that it was God. And he said unto him, "What is your name?" Now, if you don't crack up when you read that, you're sleeping. I mean, we've been wrestling for 6 hours, and you don't know if you got the right guy. You mean you don't know who I am? I think he knew who he was. But you know what he wanted him to do? He wanted Jacob to admit who he was. Jacob said, "My name is Jacob. I'm a cheater. I'm a fraud. I'm a con artist. For 97 years I've been playing a game. And the Lord crippled him. And Jacob admitted who he was. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel." For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Do you and I like being left alone? Jacob was left alone. Verse 24. I don't like it. Do you like being vulnerable? No. We want to be in control. Have you ever met an MD who didn't want to be in control? The middle word of MD is control. Controlosaurus. Do you like being crippled? No, I don't like being crippled. But you know what God can do? God can rename cripples. And God can trust cripples. And we play a game called Christianity, a game called church, a game called medicine. There are all kinds of games out there. And maybe one of the reasons God brought us together this weekend is just to say, you know, I'm tired. I'm really tired of playing a game. A game called marriage, a game called church, a game called medicine, a game called ministry. Some of you came here and you're fried just because of the way the schedule's been this week. But the whole thing is exacerbated by a deeper fatigue. And this whole program has been designed just to help you slow down and get time alone with God. And God may say to you, what's your name? Tell me who you are. Are you being honest with me? And you may leave Sunday with a new name, new power, new freedom. Your pilgrimage will be much more joyful. You're going to park a lot of baggage at the gate. God can trust cripples. God will use cripples. Cripples will be princes and princesses. Very, very fruitful. Very, very effective. Very, very attractive. Buzzy and I got a kick the first time we visited our church. We're down there in kind of an area where a lot of people retire. And there are, how many handicaps? You can't get within 100 yards of the church if you can walk. We live in the land of handicap parking. We're the youngest people in the congregation. We're part of the youth group. It's great. But God has a special place in His heart for handicapped folks. The spiritually handicapped. The person who says, hey, I really need you. I really, honest to goodness, cross my heart, hope to die, need you. I really believe when Jesus said, without me you can do nothing, He meant it. God has a very special place in His heart for the handicapped. Jacob was handicapped. And that's a terrible thing. 400 men coming. You can't run, you can't fight. What an unkind thing of God to cripple him. No. Crippling him was the kindest thing God could do. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should no longer trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That was Paul's testimony. Don't drive out the gate Sunday trusting in yourself. You walked in, you can limp out spiritually and be a prince with God. The story has a happy ending. He was reconciled with Esau. The purpose of grace is reconciliation. One of the purposes of this weekend is for us to be reconciled with God. Reconciled with ourselves. Reconciled with our spouse if we're married. Reconciled with young adult children, reconciled with colleagues, reconciled with hospital administrators. Reconciled with angry patients. We walked in. We'll limp out. No longer Jacob. We'll limp out. Princes and princesses. Reconciled. Well, it's 8:30, let's have a word of prayer and make our way to a good night of rest, shall we? Father, thank you for sending a test. To Jacob. For burning away all of the wood, hay, and straw in his life. And underneath there was some gold and silver and fine stone. And you took a man who thought he was healthy and you crippled him so that he could be whole. Lord, we're making choices. Our use of time, money, energy, priorities, the advisors that we listen to. Give us the grace as individuals to build our lives on Jesus Christ with quality material. To discover in the workshops and around the table things that will enable us to build wisely and well so that when the fire comes, when the encounter with a family member, when the encounter with God comes, we may rejoice that the building stands. We will receive a reward. We will not suffer loss. We pray it exclusively for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ in His incomparable name. Amen.